This is Upstate's Health Inc. on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, in recent years, there has been what has been called an epidemic of neck and shoulder pain in this country. There are probably many factors contributing to this. The widespread use of computers in many industries, including healthcare for starters. But with more on this common problem and what can be done about it, is Dr. William Lavelle. He's Assistant Professor of Adult and Pediatric Spine and Scoliosis Surgery at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Lavelle.
Thank you for having me.
So neck and shoulder pain are very prevalent. Why is that? What are you seeing?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with your earlier comments. Patients now do more and more. People do more and more with activities such as working with computers, working with objects seated at a desk, and that requires us to have our heads down, which would put us at risk for neck arthritis and disc herniations. And in addition, with our active lifestyles, with both work and recreation, working our shoulder is something that could put us at risk for injury. And that's why we see more and more today problems with neck and shoulder pain. And it really is a hard thing to figure which of these is causing you the pain, be it your neck or be it your shoulder.
Actually, I read somewhere that they started to call it schneck pain, which I got a real kick out of, because they said you have neck and shoulder pain commonly overlapping, and sometimes it's really hard, as you said, to determine which it is. So I guess some brilliant orthopedist decided to call it schneck pain.
Right. We always stick funny names to things, but it really is more common today to have both neck and shoulder problems. And it really does pay to spend some time to figure out which is the primary cause of your pain to try to make you better.
I want to get to that in one second, but tell me, generally, who do you think is most at risk for these? We mentioned the idea of working at a desk, but this must go across the age range. So who and why do you see, who gets it and why do you think in general?
Unfortunately, everybody gets it. It goes across the spectrum. The thing that really changes is not whether they have pain, it's why they have pain. So we tend to find younger, more athletic patients tend to have sprains and strains, things like soft disc herniations in their neck, things like tendon tears in their shoulder, while older patients tend to have more arthritic changes in both their necks and their shoulders. Fortunately for most of us, care is oftentimes non-operative, but requires care that is tailored to what's wrong with you.
So that's exactly what I want to get to now. So then, as you alluded to, we need to try to determine the source of the pain. And since sometimes it overlaps, I guess, because the neck and shoulder are intimately connected by their pathways, nerve pathways, does that play a role too?
I think that's very true. Not only are they connected by their nerve pathways, but by their physical location. Your shoulder girdle, all of the muscles that attach to your shoulder, also have some insertions in your neck, which is why there is oftentimes overlap in terms of musculoskeletal pain. Additionally, the nerves that run down into your arms originate at your neck, and at times if you have a pinched nerve in your neck, it could cause you significant pain that goes down into your shoulder and into your arm.
So how do you tell the difference? How do you know, for example, that the shoulder is the usual suspect, so to speak?
Well, oftentimes you're told by the history. Repetitive use of your shoulder, that provokes the pain. In other words, every time that you try to use your shoulder to swing and hit a tennis ball, every time you use your shoulder, particularly for overhead activities, would make you think that the shoulder is the primary cause of your pain. That's opposite to what you would see with neck symptoms. Interestingly, with regards to neck symptoms, if it's nerve pain, it's oftentimes associated with numbness and tingling that goes not only down into your shoulder, but can also go down in through your arm and into your hand. So the numbness and tingling are really signs that would point to your neck.
So that would be kind of almost the discriminatory factor there between the two.
That it would.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with spinal surgeon Dr. William Lavelle. We're talking about neck and shoulder pain, and we'll get to the cause. We've talked a little bit about the causes, and we'll get to more and treatment options. So let's get to causes. We've alluded to some things: overuse, age-related things, whether they be arthritis or underlying conditions. But what specifically would be the cause shoulders to create pain?
So in terms of the shoulder, the way the shoulder is anatomically put together, you have a series of tendons that run underneath a bony component, which is called the acromion. As we get older, we get arthritic changes in the shoulder that can cause irritation to those tendons and cause a shoulder pain. When we're younger, most of the injuries that happen to your shoulder are traumatic in terms of collision activities, hyperextension injuries.
So fractures, collarbone injuries, that type of thing.
Very true. But as we get older, the arthritic changes can cause chronic wear and tear to those tendons and cause conditions such as bursitis and, at its end stage, true shoulder arthritis.
How about things like a rotator cuff? Is that secondary more to overuse or age-related, or can it happen through trauma?
It can happen with both. Rotator cuff tears can happen from end-stage arthritic changes to the shoulder, where the tendons have been abraded by bony osteophytes to the point where they're torn completely. As you pointed out, traumatic injuries such as falls, particularly a fall that causes a shoulder dislocation in somebody over the age of 40, can cause a rotator cuff tear that needs to be potentially repaired. One of the worst, most worrisome signs with both neck and shoulder pathology is true weakness. So if you're a patient who has truly weakness of your arm or your shoulder, you should seek medical attention right away.
How about, what is this term frozen shoulder? I've heard that so many times. What exactly does that mean?
Frozen shoulder is a medical condition whereupon your shoulder does just that, that you have inflammatory changes in the shoulder where the shoulder has a difficult time moving. And in essence, it really is like the shoulder joint itself is frozen. Fortunately, the best treatment for it is typically conservative care with physical therapy. And one of the terms, as is the term frozen shoulder, is what's called shoulder thawing, where the shoulder, through time and careful physical therapy, is able to regain its range of motion.
It's also can be a consequence of having a fracture perhaps lower down in the arm, not being able to use the arm or having the arm to be... I know I'm talking from personal experience of having broken a part of my arm and developing what was called a frozen shoulder.
And that is true. Additional trauma can be a cause of it. Sometimes it can happen for just any other reason. Even something as a minor trauma can lead to a frozen shoulder, which is heralded, again, as you pointed out, by stiffness.
How about the neck idea? I mean, so what are the kinds of things that contribute to or cause neck pain?
Well, unfortunately, the degenerative process happens to all of us. And the first component of the degenerative process is actually disc problems. Both in the low back and in the neck, we see that the first stage is disc degeneration. So when patients ask me, "Doctor, do I have disc degeneration or do I have arthritis?" The answer actually is both. The discs allow us to move in our neck, and they are the first site of degenerative changes. So even patients who are not older but are not victims of acute trauma can have disc changes that can cause them first neck pain and later pinched nerves in their neck if the disc material, in fact, herniates and compresses those nerves.
So the fact is that's an inevitable part of aging. And I don't even mean older age, but just as we age, those things happen.
It is an inevitable part of aging. There's actually been MRI studies that show that greater than 30% of people have degenerative changes as they go over the age of 40 years old.
But not all people have neck pain. So what may push you over the edge then, assuming that all of us have some degree of degenerative changes going on?
And that's a really hard question to answer because we do find radiographically people with degenerative changes on their images that are entirely asymptomatic, which is why one of the things we teach at a medical school like Upstate is that we treat patients, we don't treat their images. It's hard to figure out who is going to eventually become symptomatic. Unfortunately, in our busy society, lots of people do, and that's why we have to take time and care for them to make them better.
Some of the other things that contribute to neck pain might be things like a tumor, for example, or a degenerative disease of some kind, other than...
Fortunately, most of the time, tumors are a very rare condition. However, particular findings such as nighttime pain that is unremitting, associated weight loss, and unfortunately weakness are findings that should prompt you to seek prompt medical attention, as they could be signs of more ominous things like tumors and infections.
How about things like posture?
Posture has been found to have a significant relationship to pain. We find more and more today people with neck pain. And as you pointed out, some of the things that we do, such as working at a desk, looking down, are things that can provoke neck pain because we tend to find that we load those discs in our neck more with bringing our head down into a flexed position. Additionally, the only way that the neck works is to fire muscles in the back of your neck to allow you to change your neck's posture. So the more we demand out of our neck, the more likely it is that it will be painful for us.
And the truth is, just to live in our society these days, we're all going to be prone to this kind of thing, and it sounds like. So let's get to treatments a little bit, because I think that's always a big question. I know I won't even go to the back, because the back is a major, you know, big question mark. But let's stick with shoulder and neck. What do you suggest for soft tissue, you know, causes for neck and shoulder pain? What kind of treatments?
I think the first thing that would have to be addressed is how long the pain's been going on. For an acute episode of pain that has only lasted a few days, the first and foremost thing to do is to stop the activity that's promoted the pain, to rest, to consider the use of anti-inflammatory medicines, and see if those symptoms resolve in the course of a week or two.
Do you generally recommend things like the Advil, Motrin, or naproxen type stuff, or do you also recommend Tylenol, acetaminophen type drugs?
So the answer to that is yes and yes. We find that both of those medications can be helpful. We find that while Tylenol is a relatively safe drug, it doesn't work in terms of really treating the problem, which oftentimes is inflammation. Oftentimes, personally as a physician, I recommend anti-inflammatory medicines. Again, noting that there are side effects to anti-inflammatory medicines.
How about things like corticosteroid injections? How frequently do you recommend those?
So typically after a patient has failed other conservative means, do we go to things like corticosteroid injections? They have their place. Steroid injections truly do have their place, but they should be after a trial of oral anti-inflammatory medicines as well as exercise-based modalities like physical therapy. And the reason being is that when you're doing something like a steroid injection, you're actually introducing a medicine into somebody's body through the skin. So there is a little bit more of a risk in terms of things like infection and bleeding. That being said, if a situation calls for it and a patient's that symptomatic, it is a very reasonable thing to do.
Do you think heat and ice help?
Heat and ice do help, particularly for the acute phase of an injury. Ice is one of the first things that we recommend for a sprain or a strain in the acute phase as it settles down inflammation. Ice is a great anti-inflammatory topical agent. Heat actually helps with blood flow, and the thought is that after 48 hours, heat helps blood to get into an area that has to heal. So
in the little bit of time we have left, what's your bottom line recommendation? When should somebody seek professional care?
First and foremost, patients should seek professional care if, in fact, they have weakness of their arm, weakness of their shoulder. That should always bring a patient to the doctor. Failure of what would be reasonable conservative care on your own. If your neck hurts and you try to give it some rest and you take some anti-inflammatory medicines, if that lasts longer than 2 weeks, then seeing someone is probably the next step.
Well, I want to thank you so much. My guest has been Dr. William Lavelle. He's Assistant Professor of Adult and Pediatric Spine and Scoliosis Surgery at Upstate Medical University. Once again, thanks a lot for coming in. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.